Children, listen, let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place, just lift your voice and say,
good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton, and as always, we are so glad that you have gathered around the radio to join us for the latest in what's happening in our community. You know the Confederate flag. It is back in the news today. I don't know if you are aware, but surveillance video captured two white men leaving Confederate flags on the grounds of the King Center in Atlanta and Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. Now, the King Center is comprised of the King Library and the largest repository of Dr. King's writings and works in the entire world. And so it is quite a, well, not so much a surprise, but it is another sign of the times and the type of racism that has reared its head once again in America. At the King Center, they were really getting busy for the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which, you know, spawned the popular movie Selma. They were also preparing for a large voter registration when all of this happened. And so they have been distracted, but nevertheless, their great work goes on. We are joined this evening in the village by Dr. Hilda Tompkins from the King Center. Dr. Tompkins, good evening, and thank you for joining us.
It is my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
We were just talking about the events of the day, the Confederate flags left on the grounds of Ebenezer Baptist Church and on the grounds of the King Center. And safety is the concern for those of you who work at the center, because this is, of course, in the wake of the shooting at the Charleston Church. And again, all around America, it seems that African Americans are under attack. How are you all doing?
We're doing great. We remain in prayer for the country and the world, and we stay true to Dr. King's legacy, which is what the King Center is charged to do, is to institutionalize his legacy. And the events such as the ones this morning remind us that while we have come a long way, and while Dr. King's dream, some portions of it have been realized, there is still much hatred and violence in the world. And so we are continuously working to eliminate what he called the triple evils, which is poverty, racism, and war.
The fight goes on, the struggle continues, and this occurred at a time when you all were preparing for a celebration to commemorate such a milestone in the civil rights movement, the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Tell us what type of work you all were doing in preparation for this anniversary next week.
We are indeed planning a celebration, and I'm so pleased that we have a number of partners that are joining us, the Coalition People's Agenda, the DeKalb County NAACP, the American Voters League, Beulah Missionary Baptist Church, and the Voter Empowerment Collaborative. We're all partnering together. And on August 6th, we're going to mark that momentous occasion with a massive voter registration drive. We want to make sure that voting is not only a right, it is a responsibility. So we will be on the ground celebrating that day, registering people to vote. And also, in recognition of that anniversary, we have a free screening of the movie Freedom Riders, thanks to a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. So we're going to show that film twice on August 6th at 12 noon and 2 p.m. and have voter registration, education, and responsibility going on at the exact same time.
Tell us more about the voter registration effort, because as you say, it is a right, but it's also one that was hard fought and a lot of people lost their lives so that the rest of us could vote. So remind us of the importance of voting and how we can get involved in this registration that you all have underway.
If we really want America to be the democracy that it was meant to be, then we have to make sure that people are represented in the best way possible. And the only way that we can do that is to exercise the right to vote. There is a lot of power in the right to vote. And it has not been realized by the American citizens, particularly minority and the poor are underrepresented in so many areas. So we want them to know that their voices can be heard, and they don't have to have a lot of money for it to be heard. They do not have to come from a certain sector of society. They can simply make their voices heard by exercising their right and responsibility to vote.
Right and responsibility. Underline responsibility.
Absolutely.
Would you think Dr. King would say it might even be more important now than even in the 60s to exercise that right and that responsibility, considering such powerful proof that there's still quite a lot of work to do?
I don't think he would ever say the right and responsibility to vote, that its power or its significance has been diminished in any way. He risked his life for it. And the other foot soldiers that marched with him, they knew that it was the best opportunity that we had as a minority group to exercise power and to be heard. That has not changed today. The power of the vote is still as relevant today as it was in the 50s and the 60s when they started the marches and the demand for the right to vote.
Have we forgotten, you think, the lives that were involved, the people who died? Have we forgotten? And do you
some of us unfortunately have forgotten, and I think others of us don't recognize the significance of the sacrifices that were made by Dr. King and Mrs. King and the others. We take it for granted because so many of the rights that they fought for have been given to us. We did nothing except accept them as a gift. And so we have not had to fight for them. So a lot of us have forgotten and have taken their lives and sacrifices for granted. And so on August 6th, we want to remind all of the American citizens that, again, it's not only a right, it's a responsibility, and we owe it to those that sacrificed their life that it not be in vain.
Such a great point, and so we will wrap it up on that note. It's a right. It is a responsibility. You all are in our prayers after such a traumatic day and a reminder of the racism that still exists in our country. Dr. Hilda Tompkins, thank you for joining us.
It has been my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
We will be right back here in the Village, so stay with us.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and sing.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah.
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state parks, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys on line some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college. In return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard, aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
JC Loves and the Morning Crew.
Whatever the actor do, do it.
Oh, please.
Can you say that
Lord,
one
I
more time?
Lord, I done passed out.
Really?
Here's how Frank Ray said.
Frank Ray.
Frank Ray, if you're asked to talk, don't get up here and sing. And if you're asked to sing, don't get up here and
don't
talk.
Don't get up and talk.
Yeah, he said just do what you're asked to do and go sit down.
Charging your morning.
Okay, motivational moment.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, sometimes everyone is not ready for all you have to offer.
Oh! Yes, God.
I know Nisha didn't
well, you dropped that one like you done dropped that one before. Like you done said that before to somebody.
You dropped the bomb.
Oh, Mike Dick.
She dropped
Mike
that Dick. One. I mean, but I know when you did it then, you dropped the mic and walked out, didn't you?
It's all for the kingdom, and it's all Joynet.
I wish I had the time.
Beyond the 2015 Gospel Music Stellar Awards, WDSV 91.9 FM has teamed up with an expanded media and market partners to present a special Delta Premier Gospel Legend Salute to Pastor Shirley Shirley Caesar.
Oh, how I love to call your name.
Shirley Caesar.
Since I can't dance in your church, I'll hold my music. I feel like a
Praise Fest 2015, Friday, August 21st, 7 o'clock at the Washington County Convention Center in Greenville. It's all hosted by Sister Lucia. It's Shirley Caesar. Praise Fest 2015. Take advantage of early ticket prices at $25 now at the Greenville Delta Foundation, WDSV, the Greenville Gospel Stop, the Greenville Couture Boutique, and in Cleveland, the Country Platter. Group rates and more information at WDSVPraiseFest.com.
Hey, this is your girl, Jenny Love, from Woman to Woman here at Joynet Studios. Check me out every Monday at 12 noon. We will be talking about real issues with real women. Real talk from every point of view. Do you ever sometimes just want to talk real from a Christian standpoint? Well, you have it here with me, Jenny Love, right here at the Joynet Studios. I can't wait to hear from you. Be blessed. www.joynetradio.com.
Trending topics, current affairs, do you remember, and more. It's 30-something every Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm Nisha Speaks, and it's right here on JoyNetRadio.com.
It's the 30-something show, real talk, now with Nisha Speaks.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are so glad you're with us on a Thursday night. You know, a year ago, I don't think any of us could have foreseen what would happen in the next 12 months in terms of social unrest around America. And it all started to a large degree with the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. We're joined tonight by Chris Phillips, who is a filmmaker from the St. Louis area and has produced a documentary, Ferguson 365. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm sorry.
So I watched the trailer, which you have released in advance of the documentary, and there is a voice in there that says, mm-hmm. had he stayed on the sidewalk, and that was Officer Darren Wilson, who killed Michael Brown. Yeah. Do you know that stunned me? Where did you find that audio?
Well, I mean, it's actually extracted from the ABC interview. So it's the ABC interview that he did. And, you know, it was, you know, the gentleman that was interviewing him just really simply asked, you know, is there anything that you think you could have done differently? And really, he doesn't think that you know, there was anything. He doesn't think that it could have played out any differently. I mean, he rests the fate of...
Hello, Chris? Well, we're having some technical difficulties. Let's see. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. So it was really a jarring statement because he really didn't feel that it could have played out any differently. You know, he really rests the fate of what happened to him based on not following his instructions. And so, you know, it's really kind of chilling, and it really, you know, it almost... You know, I guess I'll leave it to the people to decide, mm-hmm. you know, and how they insert what they grasp from that statement.
You start the documentary by saying no one is taught to hate, no one is taught to dislike another person. What else did you find from your side of the lens, the 365 days that you spent working on this project?
Well, I think one thing that... you know, I've learned is that, you know, as well as a lot of people, well, I think one thing that I've already known, but it has come to light for the rest of the world, is that there's a lot of systemic issues. I think that there's another thing that kind of comes to light to see that, you know, the difference in the regime from Ferguson in comparison to other places that have dealt with similar situations,
mm-hmm.
That the people that are in power really have a large dictation in how these things play out. You know, from my experience going to Baltimore and seeing what happened on Christmas Eve in Berkeley, Missouri, mm-hmm. with the shooting, and just the difference between having a more diverse leadership,
mm-hmm.
Showed me that there's also there's more transparency, and that the justice process was, you know, it went quicker versus this being drawn out for like 3-4 months almost before you actually had a decision. So the process was handled much, much differently. And really, one thing that I've also known in the wake of what has happened is because there has been a recall effort, that the vote is just so powerful. You know, one thing that will come to light with the full-length documentary that I'm doing, and I will touch on in Ferguson 365 as well, is that, you know, there was a recall effort that failed due to 27 signatures, you know, and, you know, that's just...
27 just signatures short.
27 signatures short, and really, it really speaks volumes as far as in a community where there's 21,000 citizens, you know, probably half of those are legal and registered voters, but it's still 67% African-American, and all they needed were 1,800 signatures. So mm-hmm. just one thing it also shows me is that even in the midst of all that's happened, some people still either don't understand, believe, or are not encouraged to go out and use the voting process to create change, you know. So it's really, you know, sad in that case.
You know, ironically, you are echoing the sentiments of Dr. Hilda Tompkins, who joined us at the very start of the Village Celebration tonight from the King Center, reminding us of the right to vote and the responsibility to vote. You mentioned the diversified leadership that we saw in other cities. I'm wondering if, because Michael Brown was the first case that really garnered this national outrage, if that situation was not the teachable moment, and thereafter the leadership became aware of this simmering resentment and therefore acted mm-hmm. differently, not to discount the significance of the vote and the fact that we need to vote more often,
mm-hmm.
but might it be that Ferguson was the wake-up call?
Yeah, it was. I really feel like Michael Brown, it was really a catalyst. It was a straw that broke the camel's back, and it was. I think that we've seen this happen before, even with the results that's happened with Trayvon Martin in Florida. And I think that caught national and worldwide attention. But I think it wasn't until this became, it grasped the world's attention. And you're talking about a small municipality, a small place in the St. Louis County area where the people rose up. You know, almost mm-hmm. taking it back to the 16, 1700s. You know, I think
it was
had
grassroots.
Not... The people, yes, I think we really started that. I think St. Louis really started that change. And that's why I think across the country it's you know, it's carried on and continued.
I absolutely agree with you. Michael Brown was shot and killed around noon on August 9th, and by that evening the city of St. Louis, Ferguson, and that area was erupting in outrage. And by Sunday night, the entire world could see how upset and outraged a community had become over this senseless killing. So you're right. I think Ferguson was the straw that broke the camel's back, and it was a catalyst. You're releasing it on August 3rd.
Yes.
Tell us how we can see it August 3rd. And meanwhile, take a look at this trailer. You will want to see the rest of the documentary.
Yeah, it will be on via my website, maverickmediagroup.net, and then I will also be uploading it on YouTube and Vimeo.com. And for the people that are in the St. Louis area, I am working on trying to get a local theatrical screening of the piece during that week. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Maverickmedia.net, Vimeo, and
Maverick Media Group. Yeah, maverickmediagroup.net.
Okay. All one word, maverickmediagroup.net. All right, Chris Phillips, filmmaker from St. Louis with Ferguson 365. Glad you joined us tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Newton. It was a pleasure.
We have much more coming up tonight in the Village, so make sure you stay with us. Coming up, we are going to hear from Tamika Witherspoon, who is a therapist, and she talks about the grief process in the wake of Bobby Christina Brown's death. We'll be right back.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is...
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
You know, all around the country, and particularly in our community, we have watched Bobby Christina Brown grow up. We danced to her mother's music and her dad's music, and we watched their personal lives many times. We could not believe what was happening, but we still, in so many ways, supported them. And then they had this little girl. The years passed, and Whitney passed, and our hearts broke. And just days ago, Bobby Christina passed as well. She was no doubt a young girl who was troubled. And we're joined tonight by a therapist from the Detroit area, Tamika Witherspoon. Ms. Witherspoon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the invite. No problem.
You know, we watched Bobby Christina after her mother passed, and I think so many of us were concerned for her well-being. What was it that we saw that touched our hearts?
Well, I think we saw a young lady that was grieving the loss of her mother. The mother-child bond is an indescribable bond. It's literally the person that brings you into the world. So to lose a mother, you know, is something that most of us, even though we know what it happens, we don't plan to bury. You know, we don't want to bury our mothers. You know, we know we have to lose them at some point in time, but when that reality hits, and then she was such a young lady, I mean, she was only, I think, about 20 when her mom passed, so it's a very, very difficult thing as far as being able to cope with something like that at such a young age.
And the circumstances of her mother's passing, and then, I don't know if estrangement is the correct word, but maybe a rift in the family. She dealt with so much in addition to losing her mother. So when we see that, what do you do?
If you're facing that in your own life, what do you do?
As far as the grief and loss aspect?
The grief and loss aspect and just this avalanche of crises.
Well, I would say it's really important, even though most people, well, not most people, I'm sorry, but a lot of people kind of shy away against mental health treatment. It's important to talk to someone, whether that's an actual therapist, whether it's some type of spiritual leader, or just some type of family or friend that you can reach out to for that extra support. And that's basically all a therapist is, you know, someone to actually talk to and kind of process things with. And a lot of times people don't, which leads to, you know, substance abuse issues, depression, and it just kind of spirals down from there.
You know, there were rumors that Bobby Christina had used some drugs and that her boyfriend, Nick Gordon, used drugs. And do you think that played a role possibly in the struggle? It added to her struggle?
Yes, I think that's highly possible. Like I say, it was definitely, you know, I don't know if it's official that that's
right,
what it was,
true.
But
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, yeah, people do struggle with coping with depression and different stressors. And when they use substances, a lot of people don't realize certain things are depressants. So, for example, you see a lot of people cope with stress with alcohol and not realizing alcohol makes you more depressed. Or, you know, a lot of people are taking other medication that in the long run it kind of alters your thinking. So it affects you being able to cope, you know, even harder than you're already struggling with coping.
I think a lot of us would have liked to have reached out and helped Bobby Christina, even if we were just praying for her, but the people who are in our immediate circle, right. How do we help them when they're grieving?
I would suggest just kind of being supportive and then respecting their way of grieving. A lot of people grieve in different ways. So, for example, some people, when they grieve, they actually want to talk about the loved one. Where other people, you find that they're more irritable around that time because, you know, that's kind of a stage of grief and loss is going through a stage of being angry.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person doesn't want to talk, not really forcing them to talk or not forcing them to do certain things. So even with, you know, different memorials or visiting a cemetery, you have to respect if that person doesn't want to do those different things. And a lot of people, they don't, and then the family or different people may take it personal and they don't understand. So just kind of respecting however that person wants to grieve, as long as it's in a healthy manner.
You know, I think that's such great advice because in our minds we have this template for the way you grieve. You cry, and
right.
then you cry some more, but not necessarily. There are stages.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there are stages, you know, typically, not to say that everyone goes through these stages,
mm-hmm.
but most people go through that initial shock and denial where they can't believe it happened. Then it kind of moves into more of the anger, whether they're angry with themselves, whether they're angry, you know, with something that they couldn't do to stop
mm-hmm.
something from happening.
Mm-hmm.
They could be angry at another person. Some
mm-hmm.
people hate to acknowledge it, but they may be angry at a higher being.
Mm-hmm.
And then some kind of move into a bargaining stage. Some people slip into depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, everyone needs to get to the stage of just kind of accepting, although I'm not happy with the circumstances, this did happen and I have to learn how to cope from here.
It's a tough situation. It's hard to be healthy when you are
exactly.
grieving, but it's so important, it sounds like.
It's very hard. And, you know, a lot of times you think that it's getting better and then you kind of go back to that anger or depression again. So sometimes you kind of cycle back and forth through certain stages.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate stage is trying to get to that acceptance. And the sad thing is it's not a specific length of time that it takes. You know, you can Google and do all the research in the world. You'll find nothing that'll say, oh, within 6 months, you should be fine, or within 2 years, you shouldn't cry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different for everyone in every relationship.
Mm, the heart. It's so difficult
exactly.
to manage that heart and love. So we appreciate you joining us, and we hope we've helped someone who may be grieving or know someone who is. Tamika Witherspoon from Detroit and Growing Counseling. We appreciate you joining us. We'd like for you to come back and talk with us about other mental health issues, because we do know that in our community we probably need a little bit more of that type of assistance.
Exactly. No problem. I'll come back anytime.
All right. Thank you. This is the Village Celebration. We're glad you're with us.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a...
Good evening. You know, this coming weekend, it's tax-free weekend in a lot of states, so that means that parents can shop for school supplies, they can stock up, and not pay taxes on their purchases.
Can you believe it's time to go back to school? Summer is practically over. Teachers are getting ready. Students are getting ready. And so are those who mentor our young people around the country. We're joined tonight by Reverend Jesse Turner, who has helped found an organization known as Pen or Pencil. And they are present in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, in the Dollarway School District. Reverend Turner, we're glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, it's good to be here this evening, Vicky. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Can you tell us about Pen or Pencil?
Well, Pen or Pencil Pen stands for penitentiary. Pencil stands for education. And we try to help young people make good choices and choose the pencil as opposed to the pen. Because we want them to, because of our program is kind of built on the civil rights template, we want them to boycott the bus going to the prisons and catch the bus going to school.
Would make
as we work in the Dollarway School District, would make a clarification that Pen or Pencil was actually founded in 2007 by the National Alliance of Faith and Justice out of Washington, D.C., and ICVR, which is the organization that has it here in Pine Bluff. We are an affiliate. There are about 17 affiliates around the nation, and we are just one for Arkansas, and we work in the Dollarway School District.
So this is founded on the American Civil Rights template. Earlier this evening, we spoke with Dr. Hilda Tompkins from the King Center in Atlanta, which, of course, is the largest repository of Dr. King information and writings, and the largest repository of American Civil Rights information in the world. How do the children receive it when you talk about the Civil Rights Movement? They're aware of it. Do they understand the significance of the movement?
The students today are not really abreast of what happened, how they got where they are now. There's a study done, I can't recall all of the numbers, that was done by the Southern Law Poverty Organization that showed that a lot of students in different states were just not connected to the civil rights history. So many of our students are just unaware of being able to walk into a McDonald's without any harassment, being able to go wherever they wanted to go. And so what we try to do is, through our pen or pencil and through mentoring them, try to connect them to their civil rights history. You know, there are many courageous acts that happened back when I was coming up. And so we find that the U.S. civil rights history is something that we try to connect them to. We go through all of the organizations such as SNCC, which is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. We talk to them about boycotts. We talk to them about the Birmingham Children Crusade, and even the Carter family, which was in Drew, Mississippi. All of these movements and all of these things happen with young people, and we want to get them more engaged, help them to understand that they can make a difference even though they are at a young age.
And that, if anything, we are having a revival, if you will, of the civil rights movement and its mission right now in their era. This is not just history that we need to dust off. This is happening again today.
And what we try to get them to understand, as things happen today, we try to help them understand that they are the generation that will make a change in this society. Just as the children were very instrumental in the Children's Crusade, where they boycotted the buses and Martin Luther King Jr., where, you know, the bus boycott went on and students were the ones who filled the buses, filled the jails. We want them to understand that today what they're seeing, they have the opportunity to make the change. They can be that same generation that can reduce the black-on-black violence, that can reduce the confrontations that we're seeing now with law enforcement. So those are some of the things that we try to instill in them, to show them how students made a difference back in the 50s and how they can today in 2015 make that same difference. So we show them what happened then, and we help them to understand that they can do that. Do the same thing today. And there's a curriculum that we use that helps them to understand that. We show videos, we talk to them, we bring in different people to discuss and dialogue with them. Pen or pencil is endorsed by the National Council for the Social Studies, and it also has some things in it that helps to meet those goals when it talks about Common Core curriculum. So it's a good program for our young people, because our young people are just not connected to the civil rights movement.
But as you point out, there is still a role for them to play. Again, the name of the program is Pen or Pencil. You work with the Dollarway chapter in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and this is a national organization, 17 affiliates around the country. Tell us again, if someone listening wants to start an affiliate or start a branch, the name of the national organization again?
It's the National Alliance of Faith and Justice, and the website is www.nafj.org. Or they can go to www.penorpencilmovement.org. And, of course, if they need information, they can give us a call, because we are the lead affiliate for Arkansas.
For Arkansas.
Right. But if anybody else is, you know, from beyond our borders, they can go to that website and get some different information. And our phone number is 813-6345, and we certainly would be glad to visit with them, try to get a chapter started in their community. But it's something that our students really, really need. It's a way of connecting them not only to civil rights history, but we do a number of things. We go each summer, we go to the National Youth Mentoring Summit, mm-hmm. and it's held in the National Association of Blacks and Criminal Justice, from St. Louis to Washington, D.C. to Phoenix, Arizona. We just go wherever the National Association of Blacks and Criminal Justice are, and we connect our kids with professionals, law mm-hmm. professionals, lawyers, all kinds of people. So it's a great program, and certainly we're glad to be working in the Dalloway area, because it is simply something that is outstanding.
It is excellent work. Excellent work, Reverend Jesse Turner. Once again, the website, if you'd like more information, you can go to nafj.org, or you can go to penorpencilmovement.org. And if you want to talk with Reverend Jesse personally, 870-413-6345, 870-413-6345. We're glad you're with us, Reverend Turner. We appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thank you.
We're coming right back with the Village Verse from Pastor Cedric Jones. Stay with us.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and sing.
No, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah.
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship
hey.
Layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state parks, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
One of my favorite parts of the Village Celebration is the Village Verse, and one of my favorite visiting ministers is with us tonight, Pastor Cedric Jones from Frilling Temple Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis. Pastor Ced, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Vicki.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed by the best.
Amen. Blessed by the best. Now, that's a T-shirt. For sure.
That is.
And a bumper sticker. So let's talk about the best and how we can be comforted by the best. Because these are very trying times. There's so many homicides and other losses that people all around the country are dealing with these days.
Oh, yes. You know, that you mentioned that, you know, that since you mentioned that, I was kind of meditating, thinking about that, because there's so much crime and violence that's going on, especially in the city of St. Louis. We're approaching record homicides and all kind of problems. Our young people are just in need and a lot of things going on. And, you know, a lot of anxiety, fear, and worry.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We live in fast times.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, sometimes you just think that the devil has the upper hand and that all is lost. And
mm-hmm.
We kind of have a tendency to throw up our hands and lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, if I were to be honest, which I want to be honest, you know, I kind of find myself kind of slipping in that mindset.
I understand.
Absolutely. And I began to pray. And what the Lord laid on my heart, for the perilous time that we live in is Psalms 37 verses 1-4, and this is how it reads. Verses 1-4 from the New King James Version. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and mm-hmm. he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comforted me. And the three thoughts that came to mind when I read those verses was, first of all, you know, the antidote and remedy for fear and worry and anxiety and all that kind of stuff was first, pity and pray for those who don't know God.
Which is so hard to do.
Which is so hard to do. But mm-hmm. we have to think about how God has had mercy on us, and we were not always saved.
Amen.
We were once dead in sins and iniquities and trespasses, but God, who was rich in mercy, gave us life. And then I thought about persevere and practice the truth. And lastly, pursue and praise God.
Amen.
Those are the thoughts that came to me as I thought about our times and just the word that was laid upon my heart. And you know, when the Bible talks about fretting, we have a tendency to fret and worry and you know, be in fear. But the Bible says, don't worry about evildoers and don't be envious. Don't get jealous. Don't desire what they have and envy their position. Instead of envying them, we ought to pray for them and pity them, because the Bible says that soon they'll be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. And when God cuts you down, you're cut down. When mm-hmm. God's wrath falls upon you, it's a terrible thing. And that's why Christ died, that we would be spared from the wrath of hell, the wrath of his fury, all of that. So we need to pray for people. We need to do more praying and pitying and having compassion. And when we truly have compassion on people, then we're moved and motivated by love to help them. And that's what, when we go through the every you know, means necessary to help. You know
Pastor said, I am always in awe of the people who have been the victims of some heinous crime, and they say, I want to forgive this person. They find it in their hearts to forgive. I am always stunned, for one, and two, just I admire their ability to do that, because I am not able to do that. I have a situation, and I've talked about it, and I've written about it, and it's been reported about for a while, and it is very difficult for me to pray for that person.
Yes, and amen, and you know, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in and of yourself. The people that are able to do such thing, I just stand in awe of them as well, but you know, it's really a testimony to the grace and mercy and power of God, because only God can enable and empower someone to do that, to get us out of self and to really focus on how God has forgiven us. And no matter what anyone does to us, it does not compare to what we've done to God. And that's the mindset we have to have. And it just doesn't come. We don't haul off and have that mindset. Mm-hmm. God has to empower us and fill us and reveal himself to us, to show us that and to give us the strength by his grace and mercy to do that. And therein you come in, you know, with being confronted with such heinous crime or experience that tears us apart. The word says just trust in the Lord. We have to trust and we have to have faith in him. And in spite of wanting to do otherwise, you know, retaliate, talk down, or take vengeance and take justice in our own hands, it says, trust God, trust the Lord,
amen,
and do good. We have to continue to practice what he tells us to do. He says, vengeance is mine, I will pay. Trust me, do good, and as you dwell in the land, in spite of the opposition, in spite of, you know, it seems like everybody's getting away with everything.
Exactly.
You know, you're getting.
You're nice and living by the laws and extending yourselves and you feel like you're getting behind. And look at all the people who are just living willy-nilly, right?
living willy-nilly, and there's no repercussion for their actions.
Exactly.
And they, you know, you just and we looking at it through those limited eyes, that limited perspective, and we just want to say, oh, forget it. Why should I continue to do good? Bible says, trust me. Just trust me and feed on my faithfulness. You know, in the land, wherever position you're in, whatever you're going through, whatever experience you're having, just trust me, and I will provide. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will take care of you. All of that, and we have to feed on that. And that's going to be our strength. That's going to be our power. That's going to be our breakthrough when we do those things. And in spite of what we encounter, we continue to persevere and practice truth. And that's what we have to do. And that will take us to pursuing God. You know, when you delight in something, you find pleasure in it.
Amen.
You find joy in it. So the Bible says in terms of, you know, after we've pitied and prayed for people and understanding that where they are, after we've persevered and practiced God's truths and continue to practice it, we have to continue to pursue Him, you know, delight in Him, find joy in Him. You know, study God, study His attributes, study His love, study His grace, study His loving, tender loving kindness toward us. And once we do that, and once we begin to find pleasure and joy in God and the things of God, then we begin to desire what He desires. Then we begin to, our minds are not set on things on the earth, they're set on things above. Because certainly we're all only here for a minute. We're just strangers passing through, and we have to set our minds on heavenly treasures and not earthly treasures, because earthly treasures are going to pass away. And so when we begin to desire God, delight in God, rather, then we begin to desire what He wants, what He has for us. And as we pursue Him, and as we search out and seek out the things and the will He has for our lives, then we begin to see how blessed we are. Then we begin to see, you know, we are the ones that should be envied. We are the ones that are on the top. We are the ones that have the victory. We are the ones who are blessed above and beyond what we can think of or imagine. And when we have that perspective, and when God brings us to that level, to that point where we really see His glory and the glory of His grace and His mercy and how good He is to us and how much He loves us and how much He watches over us, then we begin to praise Him.
Amen. How much He
praise God.
Yes.
Yes.
How much He watches over us. You said it at the very beginning, blessed by the best.
Blessed by the best. Maybe that should have been
You said it. I'm just borrowing it. Pastor Cedric Jones from Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis, thank you for stopping by the village to encourage us to keep on and to look to God and feed on His faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf. Swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story.
Well, we are wrapping up another edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show on this Thursday. It's always such an honor to have you stop by and listen to us talk about what's going on in our community. Just to remind you, filmmaker Chris Phillips is releasing a documentary titled Ferguson 365 in the week before the one-year anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown
in Ferguson. You can go to maverickmediagroup.net and take a look at the trailer Chris and his team have released, as well as the documentary. The release date is August 3rd. He joined us tonight in the Village to tell us about that documentary. Also, remember our interview with Reverend Jesse Turner and this wonderful organization called Pen or Pencil? If you would like to start an affiliate chapter in your city, you can go to penorpencilmovement.org. This is an organization that visits high schools and works with students to understand the American Civil Rights Movement and the role they can still play. Pen or Pencil. That's 870-413-6345. If you would like to talk to Reverend Jesse Turner, you can call him at 870-413-6345. Again, it's a national organization. Reverend Jesse Turner is head of the chapter here in Arkansas, but there are 17 other chapters around the country. Coming up next week on the Village Celebration, we will have, of course, Dr. Diane Marshall, who is the Village doctor. She's going to talk about adult immunizations. We were going to talk about it tonight, but we have just talked so long that we are, quite frankly, out of time. So Dr. Di talking next week about adult immunizations. And we will hear from Dr. Bobby Jones. If you listen to him on BET, you know that he is getting ready for his last season on BET after 35 years. Dr. Bobby Jones closing out his run on BET. So we will hear from him coming up next week in The Village. Like us on Facebook. Go to our website, www.thevillagecelebrationallonword.com. Tell us what you think. Tell us who you'd like to hear from, because we believe that together we can really redefine the narrative of the African American community. We want to talk about what's good about us, because there is an awful lot that's good and right about being black. Glad you're with us here in The Village. Have a good week and be blessed. I'm Vicki Newton.
About a village that is built with his love.